In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In those days the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find here. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. These words come from the account of Ezekiel's ordination to the office of the holy ministry. The Lord God tells Ezekiel in advance that the rebellious house of Israel will not listen to him. And yet, whether they hear or refuse, he must be faithful to deliver all the words that God has given him to speak. The enemies of God do not want to hear what is written in the scroll of God's word, because the words written there are words of lamentations and mourning and woe. Consider first who the enemies of God are: the devil, the fallen world, and your own sinful nature. Well, it's no surprise that the devil doesn't want to hear the word of God. He doesn't want to hear that Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. He doesn't want to hear that the blood of Jesus cleanses sinners from all unrighteousness. He doesn't want to hear that by his death and resurrection, Jesus has opened the way of eternal life to all believers. From the devil's perspective, these words of comfort, hope, and forgiveness are words of lamentations and mourning and woe. These are the words that remind the devil that he lost on the day of the crucifixion. And so the devil rages against the words of Christ, and he enlists the fallen world to help him silence anyone who speaks these words. But as we've seen, the more the enemies of God rage, the more the saving purpose of God is carried out in spite of their raging. Consider what has happened in the last week and a half since the demons killed Charlie Kirk. The devil desperately wanted to silence his witness and his testimony of Christ. And now what? Charlie's voice speaks louder now that he is dead than when he was alive. Thousands of people across the country and perhaps the world are returning to church and picking up their Bibles for the first time in decades. God takes what the devil means for evil, and he works it for the good of his church. The devil can't win. Even when he kills Christians, he loses. But let's not forget the third enemy of God: the devil, the fallen world, and your own sinful nature. Living within your heart is the old Adam, that stubborn, unrepentant, and bitter enemy of God and his word. He can't be reformed. He can't be reasoned with. He can only be put to death. And he has been put to death. He was nailed along with your sins to the cross of Christ. He was drowned beneath the saving waters of holy baptism. And yet, as Luther says, that old Adam is a good swimmer, and so he must be drowned again this morning. He's dead, but you still carry his corpse with you wherever you go for the rest of your life on this earth. So it's no surprise that the old Adam, being an enemy of God, also chafes and resists the words of God, just as the devil and the fallen world do. Jesus says, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is the sweet message of the gospel. It doesn't get any better than this. And yet, to the devil, to the fallen world, to the sinful nature, these are words of lamentations and mourning and woe. What? You're calling me a sinner? You're saying that I'm not righteous? How dare you? These cries of protest come not from pagans, but from the old Adam who lives within the hearts of believers. And so the protests are strongest within the church. According to church history, St. Matthew, whose feast we celebrate today, was sent to Ethiopia and found his martyrdom there. But Ezekiel was not sent to pagans. Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech, but to the house of Israel, that is, the church. And they will not listen to me, for they are impudent and hard-hearted. In other words, Ezekiel was not sent as a missionary to the far reaches of the world, but as a pastor to stubborn fifth-generation Lutherans who are good people and don't need to hear that we are all sinners. But Ezekiel was commanded to deliver all the words of God, words of lamentations and mourning and woe. We call these words the law. The law tells you that you have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. It tells you that you have deserved temporal and eternal punishment. The law convicts, it hurts, and it offends the old Adam. Have you heard the law preached by your pastor? If you've gone away from a sermon complaining that it didn't make you feel good, it's because your pastor preached the law. This means that he's doing what God sent him to do. Go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them, words of lamentations and mourning and woe. Speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. Does it hurt the old Adam to hear the law of God? Of course it does. If it doesn't, your pastor's doing it wrong. If nobody's complaining, it's because the pastor is shirking his duty. Surgery isn't meant to make you feel good. It's meant to save your life. So what should you do when God sends you words of lamentations and mourning and woe? You are to receive them. You are to eat them, as God said to Ezekiel. Don't kill the messenger. Embrace the words. Receive them. Swallow them. Because when you take these bitter words in, then they become words of sweetness. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. Yes, it hurts to hear, you are unrighteous, you are a sinner. But when you eat these words, then they turn to sweetness in your mouth. Jesus came to call the unrighteous. Jesus died for sinners. This means that Jesus came for me. He died for me. The words of lamentations and mourning and woe turn to words of joy and hope. We call these words the gospel, and there are no words of greater comfort or greater sweetness than these. The devil, the fallen world, and the sinful nature cannot receive the things of God, cannot hear these words of comfort and joy. So when St. Matthew brought these words to Ethiopia, he was killed for speaking them. When Charlie Kirk brought these words to college campuses, words that proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, words of forgiveness and hope and love, all that the enemies of God heard was a message of hate and intolerance and bigotry. But the word of God never returns void. Before St. Matthew's death, many in Ethiopia must have heard and embraced the sweetness of the gospel, because when modern missionaries finally made their way to the interior of Africa, they found that there was already a thriving church in Ethiopia that had continued from the time of the apostles. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. We have heard this said, but now in the last week, we have seen the truth of this with our own eyes. God be praised. The devil can't win. When he leaves the church alone, the word of God has free course and it takes root and bears much fruit. And when he persecutes the church, the word of God is spoken even more boldly and it takes root and bears much fruit. For in spite of the best efforts of the enemies of God, where his people take and eat these words of lamentations and mourning and woe, they turn in our mouths to the sweetness of honey. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen.